I want to take us back to the prayer of the day, the second half of that. Did you hear what you were praying? It said, bring wholeness to all that is broken and speak truth to us in our confusion. Speak truth to us in our confusion that all creation will see and know your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Speak truth to us in our confusion. Can you imagine what the people at in the synagogue where Jesus was, what they were experiencing? I think there was probably a whole lot of emotion going on at that moment, especially after they heard him speak and they were talking about who is this person that he speaks with authority, not like the scribes. Jesus knows what there is to know about Scripture. And as they're marveling at that, then suddenly this person who is possessed comes forward and says, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? We know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Now, I don't know, you know, maybe because of the excitement of the moment, if they were hearing everything the demon said, but what they were most amazed at is what happened at the conclusion of that, where Jesus told the demon to come out of the man. And the people were amazed that he did that. Who is this person that can even cast out demons? Jesus is one who is of authority. Help us in the midst of our confusion. All of a sudden, then, people are beginning to think, who is this Jesus? When the clue has already been given to them, and yet they are caught up in the moment and the excitement of that time where they see a man who is made well. So they begin to think he is a healer. He is one who can preach a pretty darn good sermon. And then as time goes along, other things begin to be said about him. But in all those moments in which things are claimed about him, there are still doubts. Even his cousin from prison sends his disciples to say, are you the one who was to come after me or aren't you? He didn't know because of the way in which Jesus acted. There were certain assumptions about who this Messiah was going to be. And of course, some thought he was a good teacher. Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they say, some think you're a prophet. And others, a nice guy. Or maybe a revolutionary. Someone who is here only to cause trouble, only to cause upset in society, especially those who were established as authority in that time frame. Is it any wonder the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the Roman government, the powers that be, would have been nervous around him? Because people were saying, here is one who has authority. So who do you say that Jesus is? Did you hear that of the amazing thing about that? All the stalwart members of the synagogue, everyone that was around him, and they were all amazed, but nobody dared make a proclamation about who Jesus is. But it was a demon. It was a demon who called him out for who he was. We know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. You are the Holy One of God. And it fell on deaf ears. And Jesus tells the demon to be silent. There's a part of Mark's gospel that it's not Jesus' time yet to be divulged as to who he is, but we know, or do we? Because when you look around and you hear the many versions of Jesus that are out there, we are a world that is full of confusion. There are those who are out there that will tell you that Jesus will bring you as much wealth as you would like. He wants you to be as happy as possible. And all you need to do is to think good thoughts and to have that power of positive thinking, and everything will come your way. And yet there is nothing in the gospel that suggests that. There are those who believe that if there are certain ways in which we phrase words, that things will happen for us all in the name of Jesus. All I have to do is say this or do this. There are those who see Jesus as the culmination of all of God's judgment, as if the cross never existed. And so everything that we have been taught, that we have been only enforced to understand that we are so guilty of sin, we are not worthy of anything, and therefore you have to change. You are the one that has to change. You have to make a decision for Christ. You have to come up forward and say your life has been converted. When in reality, the moment that we do that, we are still the same person who continues to sin day after day after day after day. What bothers me most about that is that we fail to see what it is that Jesus does for us on the cross. It's as if that moment that he died and that he rose again, doesn't even come into the picture. Because it's all determined about how you live individually and how you should do this and you should do that. And if you don't live according to that, then you have no place in the kingdom of God. That is not the Jesus I know. And of course, there are those who say he's a good guy. He was a prophet. He was a teacher. We know who you are, Jesus of Nazareth. But do we really? Because we struggle every day with our own lives and with what we see out there in the world. We have a difficulty determining what really is truth that is being spoken to us, what is not. We have been told that there are alternative facts. And how do we get through all these things to be able to sort them out and to understand what it is that Jesus truly desires for me or you or for us as a community? And there are all kinds of things that we are told that we must do and we have to do this or that. Yes, we know as Lutherans, we walk a fine line that we are balanced between law and gospel. That is, we understand that we are judged by the law. If anybody understood that, that was Martin Luther, who struggled with each and every day of wondering what it is to live under a judging God, a God that he feared. And he tried his best to show that he was repentant, that he had a contrite heart, that he was turning away from things so that he could turn to God, and yet at the same time, he failed at that. And there are still people who live like that today. When in reality, if we look at what the Scripture says to us, it's very simple. God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, before we begin to make that claim, well, I need to make this statement, I want to suggest to you that it is God who gives you that gift to make that statement. It is God who opens our eyes to the understanding of who Jesus is, that we too can make the proclamation that Jesus, you are the Holy One of God. And you can make all things whole. You can restore us to an understanding and a life of what we are to be about instead of living in confusion as others would have us. And Jesus points us to those two simple commandments which you heard me share with you so many times. Now, we at St. Luke's have experienced a lot of change in our lives, and particularly here in this community. And for 3 years prior to my arrival, I understand you've been told about change and preached about change, and when I came, we talked about change, and change came. Change comes hard. It's difficult. I think about when Jesus was talking to his disciples about what they must do as they follow him, and they return the response and saying, but these things are hard. Maybe our perception is that life should be something much simpler than what it is, but unfortunately, that's just not life. There are ups and downs and wonderful times and times that we wish we could just forget, and yet, you know, we continue to move forward. If we try to resist that forward motion, what happens is that we become pretty much dug in, not willing to accept change, and the world passes us by. Because I believe that it is God who is the agent of change. Not that his message has changed, that Jesus died for all of us continues to remain first and foremost in all of our lives. That through his resurrection, you and I have been given new life, and that we have been given an opportunity that each and every day that we rise up out of our beds, that we have been forgiven and that we are restored and that we are once again able to be his disciples. I can remember in my lifetime special memories. Holidays are always wonderful times to remember, and Thanksgiving, when my parents would invite relatives and friends and even people from the church who had no family. And we'd all gather around, and those were special moments, a feeling of warmth and acceptance and understanding. And I'd love to replicate that today. But you see, I can't. Several of those individuals, including my father, are gone. My mom is 92. My brother and sister all have their own lives, as I do as well. We have our own traditions that we begin to start. My life has changed. And if I try to replicate that, or try to replicate how things were on Christmas Eve every year, you know what I'm bound to have happen to me? Is that I'm going to get depressed and sad because it can't happen again that way. The people that were part of that are no longer in my midst. Or maybe they have changed. And so we start new traditions and new beginnings. We have our own ways in which we do things. So it is with the church as well. Things have changed. 2.5 years ago, you called a pastor from the East. I don't know if he's a wise man that came from afar, but but he came with different ideas and understandings. But the one foremost thing that was in that understanding is that I've been called to love and to cherish this community. And a little later on, of all things, you called a woman pastor, Pastor Marcy. 30 years, 40 years ago, people would have been up in arms. And you know what? There are still people who are up in arms. And there is nothing in Scripture that says a woman cannot be a pastor. But that's our own perception, our own understanding. And that's what happens with our understanding of Jesus as well, because we try to mold him into something that we think fits into our lives, when it's really about Jesus taking us and making us his children and sending us forth. That doesn't come easy. Throughout my 60-some years of life, I have struggled and I have fought, and there are times that I want to do things in a different way, and yet God leads me in a different path, and I get angry, and I get upset, and I get depressed. Then I find out that God was right all along. St. Luke's is a part of an adventure. And it has its ups and downs, its exciting moments, and its moments of concerns, and its hurts and pains. But you know what? We're still the family of God. God has blessed us in so many ways. He has given us opportunities for ways in which we can serve and to grow together. He has given us opportunities to learn, not just from certain individuals, but together as one, as I sit down with those who come on Tuesdays and we talk about the lectionary, the study, the lessons for the upcoming Sunday, I learn from them as I hope they learn from me. Because I don't claim to have it all. There comes a place and a time which we understand the authority in which God has given to all of us. And God has called us to be this community. And God has called us with people who lead, people who strive to love, and people who are open in their hearts and their minds to the many encounters that God blesses us each and every day. I thank you for your prayers for this community. I thank you for your willingness to serve. And I pray that you continue to be open to the Spirit. And in spite of the change that we continue to face, that we remain strong in the understanding that God is with us and that his love embraces us as his children. And that indeed we can make that claim, yes, Jesus, you are the Holy One of God. It is because of you that I am here. It is not by my will, but yours. It's not by my ideas, but yours. It is not that this is my church, but it's yours. And it's not about me, but it's about you. God bless us in our ministry. Amen.